Working his way. I thought he had a special for us this morning. No? All right. Amen. Again, it is so very good to see you this morning. I am so glad that you have come to be a part of our worship service today. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. Over in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's talk this morning about submitting to God's will. Submitting to God's will. Submission is defined as yielding to authority or to subject oneself to defined instructions from someone else. Submitting is not a bad thing. Too many times I think we think, well, when we submit to something or to someone that we have to cower down or we have to do this. That's not at all how we should look at submission. All right, submission is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. When we have someone in a position to give us instruction or someone in a position of authority over us and they are what they should be, then our submission to them should be an honor to us and to them as well. And certainly as we talk about submission to God, in submitting to God, we know that it must be indeed the best thing for us and indeed to honor Him. We're going to learn about that a little bit this morning in 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1, all right? We're going to read down through verse 4, and then we're going to skip over and read some other verses later in the chapter. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Oh, would God, my Lord," talking of Naaman, "were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover or heal him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, Naaman, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Now skip over to verse number 9. Verse number 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Much more rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Heavenly Father God, thank you for the privilege to present your word this morning. Grant me preaching grace to present it in a way that your sweet Holy Spirit can work in every heart and mind that is here today. Lord, just rebuke Satan and remove every hindrance from our services this morning. And we thank you for, again, the privilege to be together. Lord, Convict our hearts, and we'll praise you for it. Let us be submissive to you, and Lord, we're going to give you the praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we come to this particular text of Scripture this morning, we find the account of a man named Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian. He was captain of the Syrian army. Now, Syria was in this day, as it is today, on the northern border of Israel. Almost always, Syria has been an enemy of the nation of Israel. And they certainly are today. They are very much. Syria today is in the midst of a horrendous civil war, turmoil within, and it's just destroying the people there and such, and that doesn't have anything to do with today, but it's quite a boiling point of disruption and such in the Middle East, and they are right there on the northern border of Israel. Naaman was a military leader of the Syrian army, a very high-ranking one who was noted for his valor, very honorable in his commitment in his to his country and such as that. Even to the point that God had used him and blessed him in a special way to deliver his people and had some influence with Israel. Also, we see that Naaman was well thought of. This would have been the military leader in a nation that was, everybody knew his name. When you heard the name, and they knew who he was talking about. They knew of his exploits. They knew of the things that he had done. He was very highly respected and recognized. Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy was an unfortunate, terrible thing. Leprosy is a term that's used somewhat to describe various diseases in the Old Testament, but for the most part, it refers to a sickness that caused a crippling of the joints, and also it caused ulcerous lesions, skin lesions all over the body. It was a nasty, nasty disease. I don't know, modern day it's called Hansen's disease. There is still some of it in the world today and such. But in the Bible times, you often see it mentioned. Excuse me. It was fairly common at this particular time. It was a terrible thing to have. It was a terrible thing to contract. It had terrible consequences. Because leprosy was very, very contagious, highly contagious. It caused those that had it to be ostracized from society, even their family. They separated themselves and they would live in what were known as leper colonies. And these people would come together just so that they could to be together, but they would separate themselves from other people in society because they were so very contagious. If you read in the law of God, the law of Moses, they had very strict requirements and regulations concerning people with leprosy and such as that. But it was a very terrible disease. It was very, very painful. It was very a very difficult thing to deal with. And it was almost always terminal. It almost always led to the demise of the person that had it. And so we can see the situation now just from what we read of Naaman here. His was apparently in its early stages. He was still associated with his people and such. But nonetheless, he had a very bleak future in front of him. And so as we look at this today, I want us to see what God, through the prophet Elisha, through a little girl, a young lady, offered to Naaman, and I want to see his response, and I want us to learn some things about submitting to God this morning. As we read this text, and I didn't read all of it, but in verses 1 through 12, we can kind of set the scene here. We know that Naaman was who he was, we just talked about, and we know the situation of his leprosy. In the midst of the Syrian and the Israeli fighting and such as that, sometimes the Syrians had taken captive this young lady from the Hebrews and had taken her captive, and she was now living in Syria, working in Naaman's house as a servant to Naaman's wife. Now, it says a maid here. She was probably a young lady, probably in maybe her mid-late teens, something like that. We don't have any idea, really, but that's would have been the typical of the day. And she was there, and she had apparently grown to love and appreciate, even though she was a slave and she was a captive, she had grown to appreciate her Syrian family that she was living with, and she had knew of Naaman's situation, and she made the statement that we find in the passage that we read there, verse 3, she said, "Oh, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Oh, if Naaman could just get to the prophet that is there here in Samaria, the prophet of God. Now, we know that's going to be Elisha that we'll see in just a little bit. Oh, if he could get with him, I know he could heal him of his leprosy. Someone heard her say that. Went to Naaman, to make this long story kind of quick here, went to Naaman and said, "You know, this little girl, this young lady that works in your household, she said such and such and such." She said this and she told him. And so word got out and the king of Syria heard this and such. And so the king of Syria in verse 5 said, "Hey, go down there to find that man of God. Go down there to Syria. Let me send you a letter. And you go down there to the king of Israel." Go to the king of Israel, not the prophet yet, but the king of Israel. Go down there, take this letter, take great riches. Verse 5, he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Folks, listen, he took a lot of riches with him. He's going down there and he is going to be willing to pay the king of Israel. He's going to be willing to get pay whatever it costs to get this done and such. And so he goes to the king and the king says, "My goodness," said, "who am I to give life and death? I can't do anything about this." And he got upset about it, and it says he rent his clothes, which shows the magnitude of his distress about this. And he was distraught about this for whatever reason and everything. And so word got to Elisha very quickly. And so Elisha told the king of Israel to tell Naaman. He says, "King, it's okay, don't worry about it. Send old Naaman down here to me." And so sure enough, that's what happened. Now let's begin to read in verse 8. "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" Not just "I'm going to heal him," but he's going to know that God's working in this. Listen to this. I love this. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha." I mean, Naaman is somebody back in Syria. Naaman is somebody when it comes to the military of Syria and the government of Syria and the people of Syria. Naaman is somebody to be recognized and honored, and people would have bowed to him. He comes up to Elisha's house. Elisha looks out and sees him, kind of knows what's going on. That's just kind of my speculation on this. Elisha sends a messenger out there. Elisha says, "Hey, go out there and tell him." And he says, "Go down to the Jordan River, dip yourself in the river 7 times, and you'll be clean. You'll be healed." That sounds easy enough. Well, Naaman, being the kind of person in the position that he was, he became furious. He didn't even, that prophet didn't even come out to greet me. He didn't even come out and do anything. I'm Naaman. I'm Naaman, the Syrian military leader. He didn't even come out and see me. Oh my goodness. He says, look at what he says. He says, "Naaman was wroth and went away," and he said, he just left. He said, "Behold, I thought surely he had come out, stand, call on the name of the Lord, touch me and heal my body." He wanted a big show. He wanted something. "Hey, I'm worthy of this, fellas. Listen, I'm Naaman." He said, "I thought sure he'd come out and call on his God, and he would touch my leprosy, and he would heal me of those of this terrible thing. I thought sure he would do that." And he says, he wants me to go down to Jordan River. Listen, we've up there at Damascus, we've got Abana and Pharpar rivers. They're much better than the waters of the Jordan. The Jordan River, for the vast majority of the time, the Jordan River was muddy. It was muddy. It was not a clean, pristine river that ran through, you know. It was just no muddy river. Certain times it had looked around for a pool deep enough to dip in. Other times it flooded the country. Pharpar and Abana, apparently they were great, beautiful rivers up there in Damascus. He said, why can't I just go up there and dip in them and be clean? He said, we've got better than the Jordan. So he turned away with his rage. Folks, I want us to look at Naaman's situation right here for just a moment. Naaman was given a very simple remedy from God through the prophet Elisha, through a messenger. Folks, listen. The message is good regardless of however it comes. It's good, all right? It doesn't matter who gives it to us. If it's good news from God, let's take it. So he gets that message, but he don't like the message. He don't like the remedy of all things. He doesn't like the will, the remedy. Folks, listen. He was willing. His willingness to submit was hindered most of all by himself, by pride and arrogance. He wanted a show. He was willing to pay a great price. Folks, look in verse 5. 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. Folks, that is a pot full of money. Even in this day and time, that's a huge amount of money. He was willing to pay whatever it costs to get his leprosy healed. He was willing to go down there and pay that great price. He thought his name and position ought to get him something special. He wanted a big production in his healing. He wanted to be seen and he wanted to be noted. He allowed all these things. He thought what he had was better. What he had to offer was better than God's. He thought the rivers up there where he was from were better than that old Jordan River. Folks, listen. Too many times in our life, as we go through life, we see what God wants us to do. We see what God has for us. We see God answer our prayer, but we still have a better idea. We still have a better idea. We still think it ought to be another way. We still think it ought to be something different. Sometimes, and you know, I think we probably well experience, you know, God just dump it right in our lap, and we can't see it for ourselves. We can't see it for our own, what we're going to do and what we want, how we want it to be. And folks, listen, that's what's happening with Naaman here. He was not willing to submit to God because he didn't like the way God addressed it. He didn't like the way Elisha didn't even come out and say, well, good afternoon, Naaman. What can I do? And Elisha, the great man of God, he didn't do anything. This man was not willing to submit to God. Now, if he had not done what Elisha said, and we're going to get ahead a little bit, we know that he did and we know the end result. We'll get there in just a second. But if he had not done that, you know what? I'm absolutely convinced he'd have went back to Syria with leprosy. And it would have gotten worse and worse and worse until probably it took his life. He wasn't willing to submit to God. Folks, we must be willing to submit to God. And it's not a bad thing. What was going to happen with Naaman if he did what Elisha said? If he went down to the old muddy Jordan River and he dipped into it seven times, dipped himself into it seven times, what was going to happen? Folks, he was going to be cured of a terminal disease. He was going to be cured of a disease that was about to the place where he was going to be ostracized from society. He was going to lose his position. He was going to lose his family. He was going to lose his health. Probably he was going to lose his life. All he had to do was submit to God. But he wasn't willing to do that. Folks, listen, there are some areas in life that we must submit today. There are some areas in life where we are told by the Word of God through the message of the Holy Spirit, through inspired Word, and we are told of some areas where we need to do what God tells us to do. And folks, it's not that He is standing over us with a whip and threatening us if we don't do it. Here it is. Here's the blessing of it. If you do it, and folk, listen, every time we submit to God, we do two things for sure. One is we honor Him by being submissive to Him, by putting our faith and our trust in Him, our confidence in Him, by taking Him at His word, by believing what He says. We honor God when we are submissive to Him. Secondly, we put ourselves in a position to receive the blessings of God. Oh, we shouldn't do anything just for what we can get out of it. Folks, listen, Naaman needed a cure for leprosy, and it was coming from God by his submission to Him. It's okay. God wants to bless us. God wants to provide for us. God wants to give us the things of life that we need and even desire. That's He tells us that multiple times in the New Testament, and the Old Testament as well. Folks, listen, we must submit to God. First and foremost, mankind is in general as a whole. And if it applies to anybody in this congregation today, you get this if you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning. Folks, you need to submit to God for eternal salvation. For that's the only place you're going to ever find it. That's the only place that it will ever be found is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death on the cross, His shed blood. There is where we find salvation. Folk, that salvation is offered to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death on the cross. All we have to do to receive it is call upon Him, accept Him as our personal Savior, place our faith in His death and His sacrifice, and folk, He will give us everlasting life. He will give us that salvation that we desire and we need so desperately today if you are lost. It's there. Salvation, and I praise God for this, salvation of our spiritual debt that we owe, it's very much like the situation with Naaman and his leprosy. The remedy's simple. Somebody else has done it all. God's done it all for us. The simple, the means of salvation is by faith, trusting in the wonderful grace of God for the salvation of our soul. All Naaman had to do was trust in what Elisha said, go to the Jordan River and dip in it. Folk, listen. You're lost this morning. Please don't leave this building without Jesus. Know that it is not difficult. It is not a complex thing. God has done it all. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. We just must by faith accept that. Submit yourself to the salvation of God this morning if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. After you've done that, there are some things that I think we should do in our submission to God. I believe the first act of obedience for a child of God after they're saved is to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. You don't have to, all right? Not being baptized will not keep you from going to heaven. A person could be saved and never be baptized and go to heaven. Now, there are those in the religious world that don't teach that, but they're wrong, okay? We don't have to be saved. You don't have to be baptized. You do have to be saved in order to go to heaven. But, folk, to be fully in the will of God, to receive the full benefit of everything He has for us. Folk, I want to encourage you today, if you've not followed the Lord in baptism, submit in submission to God, follow His defined instructions, yield yourself to His love and His grace and His mercy, His authority, and follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. And folk, I tell you what, you'll find the great blessing of that. You'll find the joy of being obedient to God. You'll find the camaraderie of church family and church membership, all of those things. It's a wonderful thing for you. No, you don't have to. But I'm telling you, God will bless you if you do, and it is an act of obedience. Said this all of my ministry, I will for the rest of it, and I believe it with all my heart. A child of God can truly be saved, have absolute assurance in his salvation, but he'll never be everything he could be and should be until he follows the Lord in scriptural baptism and becomes an active, key word, active part of a local New Testament church. Folks, I'm telling you what, submit to God. And I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. You're here this morning, all right? Submit to God and be active in His church. Be active in the things of His church. Be active in the services of His church. Participate, be a part, support, encourage, pray for, be in the services of, all of those things. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but folk, listen, we need to submit to the Lord's local institution we call the New Testament church today. One of the great falling away that we see in our works today, in good sound scriptural works today. Folks are not submitting themselves to the church. And in turn, they're not submitting themselves to God, because it is God's church. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased it with His own blood. He purchased it with His sacrifice on the cross, just like He did our salvation. It is His institution. It is His church. Folks, this morning, submit to the Lord into His church. We need to submit today to a sanctified, separated life. Come out from among them and be you separate. We need to commit ourselves and submit ourselves to the Word of God, and knowing it, learning it, understanding it, reading it, studying it, making it a part of our life, making it the guidebook of our life. Everything about it being a part of what we do. Folks, that's why we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to learn more, to have that camaraderie of church family, to have that fellowship, to have that love, compassion. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we have a prayer list. That's why we do these things. Folks, all of that is submission to God. And all of it is good for us. All of it will benefit us. All of it will help us. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we need to submit to God. The world needs a submission to God. Why, if these are such benefits, why is it that we don't see more people do it? The same reason that Naaman wouldn't go to the Jordan River. Now, I believe this with all my heart. I believe Jesus teaches this in His teachings and the Sermon on the Mount and other places. If it cost a lot of money, some people would do it, because they can show themselves being able to purchase their salvation. Some people think that they ought to just get special recognition from God because of whom they are, what they are. Some people think they've got a better idea. Folks, listen, that's the vast majority of the religious world today. They've got a better idea. They've got a better way. Folks, listen, there's not a better way than right here. There's not a better way than thus saith the Lord. There's not a better way of salvation than simply trusting in Jesus. As a matter of fact, there is no other way. Jesus Himself told us that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through church and rituals and all this and that, what have you. Folk, it's Jesus. Let us submit to Him. Let us not allow anything to come between us and submission to the Lord. Let us not allow anything to come between us and doing what God would have for us. Let's go on and look at a little bit more about Naaman. In verse 13, Naaman is angry. He has stormed away from Elisha's house. He has stormed off just angry, having brought all these riches, and he didn't even come out to see me. He said, "My goodness, the rivers up there in Damascus, they're better than that old Jordan River over there." He is upset. He didn't even come out and cry out to his God and touch me. He didn't do any of these things. He didn't do anything. He's angry. Thank goodness for his servants. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it?" Now that's a rhetorical question, but we know the answer is, well, sure, yes. "How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" He said, to paraphrase, he said, "Mr. Naaman, sir, if he had wanted all of those riches, would you not have paid it?" Yeah. "If he had told you to do some great act of bravery, would you not have done it? If he had asked you to do some great phenomenon, anything, you would have done it?" Yeah. "Why not go down to the river and dip? Why not just take him and see what happens? Why not take him at his word?" So Naaman kind of calmed down and he listened. Let's stop right here and notice a couple of things. Notice two of the most influential people in this whole account. I say two groups, one person and another group. His servants, those that served under his authority, that were submissive to him. those that were under his authority, those that were, I'm telling you, when he gave a command, they didn't have a second thought. They carried it out. We don't know their name. We don't know anything about them. But they took the message back to Naaman and said, "Naaman, why don't you do this?" They showed their love and their compassion for him. They showed their concern for him. They showed an interest in him. They wanted him to be well. They wanted him to get over this leprosy. They didn't want him to die. There's somebody else that's always left out of this, usually, when we talk about it. Back over there in verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maiden. And she waited on Naaman's wife. That young lady, that little girl, she was a slave. She was out of her country. She was having to serve the wife of the military leader. But she wanted the best for him. She wanted something good. She thought she knew of a remedy. She knew that if she could just get her master to go to see Elisha, he could take care of her. She had faith. She had confidence. And folk, she didn't hesitate to say so. Folk, let's learn from the servants and the little girl. Folk, we got to say so. We have in our society today, we live in the midst of a lost people. We live in the midst of people that don't know Christ. And folk, we know the remedy. It's Jesus Christ. Let's tell them about Him. Let's send them to Him. Let's help them to understand. Let's help them to see the need and see that there is somebody that can help them. There is someone who can do for them what they need, that can meet the needs even of their sin debt. Then, folk, listen, we need to be a part of this little group of servants and this little girl that said, "Naaman, we want the best for you. Go down here and talk to Elisha." So the servants had an influence on Elisha. It says he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. This is one of those I like to try to visualize. He goes down to that old muddy river and he's listened to the servants and yes. And he goes down there and I like to think, and you know, he's obviously putting some trust in what Elisha has said. He's doing this to satisfy his servants. He's doing this in hopes that it really might work. But I like to think he goes up there and he gets down the old Jordan River and he looks in it and it's muddy. They found a hole deep enough to get into that he can dip. I think in his mind, I wonder if he's not saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is not going to work. And he finally gets down and he gets in the bottom of that old hole. And I don't know how deep the water is. It's deep enough for him. And he said, all right. And he holds his nose and he dips himself down in it and he comes up. And his servants are smiling. They say, 7 times, Naaman. That's one. Naaman, all right. And he does it again. 5 more, Naaman. He does it again. And he does it again. And finally, the servants are there and they're getting excited. And they say, just one more time, Mr. Naaman. And he dips down in that old muddy water, and he comes up out of that water that last time, and the muddy water's rolling off of him. And he looks at that old crippled hand, and that old leprosy, the old ulcerated sores that are there, and it's gone. It's gone. I'm telling you, his skin was it says like that of a little child. It says it was like that of a, exactly how does it say it here? Let me get it right. That it was like the flesh of a little child. I like to think his flesh that day, is even as an old guy, was just as smooth and clean and fresh as Griffin's. Just as perfect as a little baby. And old Naaman looked at that and that shook that old muddy water off, and he looked up here. There were some of those old ulcerated sores there. His old hands, he began to flex. And he said, man, those things not stiff anymore. And I'm telling you what, Naaman began to get excited. I know he did, because folk, you would have too if you'd been diagnosed with leprosy and now it's suddenly gone. And I'm telling you, Naaman came up the last time. He had a different attitude than he did when he went down the first time, because he had submitted to God. He had submitted to God. He had done what God had instructed him to do. It wasn't a big hoopla ordeal where everybody came out and everybody and all Elisha put on this big show. No, just go down and dip in the old muddy water of the Jordan 7 times. I'm telling you, his servants, his military men are excited. He is excited. They're looking at this and he said, "Look, fellas, you were right. It did work. Look at this. I'm clean. It did work." Old Naaman went back. And he found Elisha. He went back. You know, I don't believe you could have got him to go back to see Elisha for anything in the world before he dipped in the water. I went there once. He wouldn't even come out and talk to me. I'm telling you, he hightails it back to Elisha. He returned, verse 15, to the man of God, and he and all of his company, and they came, and they stood before him. I tell you, I think old Naaman got out of his chariot, and he went up there to the door of Elisha, and he knocked on it and said, "Hey, come out here, it's Naaman, let me show you something." Old Naaman, old Elisha, I think he strolled out there that time. I believe old Elisha came out, and he had a smile on his face. I'm telling you, the servants of Naaman are excited. They're all joyful and happy, and they're just kind of all giddy. Old Naaman is as well. And folk, let me tell you, let me show you right here the very, very best part of this whole account, okay? Well, how can it get any better? This man been healed of leprosy. He's not going to die from it. Let me tell you the best thing that happened in this whole account. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all the company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." You know what he said? He said, "There's no other God except the God of Israel, the real, the true, and living God." Folk, he had a testimony for the true and living God because he had seen God work in his life. And you know why God worked in his life? Because he submitted himself to the authority and the command of God to do what God told him to do. And it wasn't hard. It wasn't complex. It didn't cost him anything. It was simply saying yes to God. Folk, we need to say yes to God today. We need to say yes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you need to say yes. If you're a child of God, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You need to say yes. If you're a child of God and you need a church home and the Lord's leading you to this one, I want you to be sure the Lord's leading you to this. Lord's leading you to this one, I want you to say yes this morning. If you're a child of God and you're just not as consecrated, you're just not quite as submitted to His Word and to His church and other things that you ought to be, and you know that, and the Holy Spirit's convicting you about that right now, all you got to do is say yes. God's not even asking you this morning to dip in the old muddy Jordan. He's just saying, wanting you to say yes. Folk, what we need in our world today, our churches today, our personal worship and service of God today, are people that are willing to say yes to God and submit to His will and His way for your life. Now, I know what that is in general for all of us. But God may be dealing with you in some way particular, specifically just you. If He is, say yes.